Well, it's a joy for me to be back again. I appreciate the privilege once again to be this way and trust that the Lord will help us tonight. And if the Lord don't help us, then we don't have any help. I'll do all I can, but it's really the Lord that is what can help us in time of need, and I'm glad for that today. It's good to see all of you. Good to hear the good singing tonight, and I appreciate that and pray that God will bless us tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to give you a thought, a simple thought tonight. It won't be long before you. And we pray that God will help us tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, and the Apostle Paul writing here, and in verse number 10, very familiar portion of Scripture, and we want to read this tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Father, we thank you for the reading of your Word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now for just a few moments in this place, that, Lord, we might honor you as we look into your Word. May you encourage your people tonight, I pray, in this place. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day. Now, Lord, if you don't help us, Lord, we don't have any help tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd do just that that's needed in every heart and in every life. And Father, we're going to thank you for what you do, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. A very familiar portion of Scripture that I've read tonight, and the Apostle Paul begins writing in verse number 10 here. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The soonest point in our life and our Christian walk that we learn that whatever we do, we have to do it in the power of his might and not our might. We're going to be more victorious in our walk with him, because we'll never accomplish anything within our own selves that'll be of lasting value. But if we do it in the power and the might of our Savior, then hallelujah, it'll have lasting impact. And he said, put on the whole armor of God. He begins to detail the battle that we as God's people are in. He talks about in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Paul says our battle is not a physical battle, if you will. He said we're wrestling forces that we cannot see. If every one of us tonight in this building could see in the realm of the unseen tonight that surrounds us every day of our life, the spiritual battle, the powers and the spiritual wickedness that surrounds us, it'd probably frighten every one of us tonight if we could see into that veil. And so he said, we're wrestling, and we're sometimes I wish it was a physical battle. It'd be all right if you could punch the devil, wouldn't it? Amen. But you can't. You see, it's not a physical battle. And many times the things we fight in this world and the setbacks that we have and the difficulties that we encounter, we don't understand them because we're not seeing the whole picture. We don't understand the warfare that is being brought against us individually, even in our families and even in our churches. Sometimes we think it's just people acting weird and people just doing things they shouldn't do, when all the while there are forces behind the actions of those, and many times that battle is being brought by the forces that are unseen. I begin to think about it. He comes on down. He begins to talk about the helmet of salvation. And he begins to talk about all these other things that we have at our access that we might have victory in our walk with the Lord. But where I really want to go to tonight in this chapter and in these verses, I want to look at verse number 18. In the, out of all the warfare and out of all the battle and out of all the armament that we've been given, I want to focus on verse number 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all, I want you to notice that word, perseverance. Perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul is saying here, he said, listen, you're in a battle. You can't see the forces many times that you're fighting against, but you've got weaponry. You've got the armament. You've got the helmet of salvation. You've got the Word of God. You've got all this. But then he comes down and he says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he uses that word, he said, perseverance. One of the greatest things, I really believe, one of the greatest lacks in our day, in our churches, is the lack of understanding of the necessity of having a prayer life in our own personal life. I've never seen a day that there's so few people that really know what it is to pray, and even fewer who are willing to practice what they know. I read over there in the Word of God, one day Jesus was praying and his disciples heard him, and one of them said, Lord, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. That disciple did not ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. He said, teach us to pray. You see, the problem is the same in our churches today. It's not that we need to teach people how to pray. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, it's kind of like learning to ride a bicycle. The first time I ever climbed on a bicycle, I went a little ways and fell over. But I didn't stop there. I got back on it. And the next time I went just a little farther before I fell over. And it wasn't long after attempting it and trying it, it wasn't long I was going anywhere I wanted to go riding a bicycle because I didn't quit in my attempts at it, and I didn't get discouraged because I didn't. Initially, nothing didn't happen like I wanted to. I just kept at it. Next thing you know, I could ride a bicycle. And I promise you this, if you'll just practice prayer, you may feel like you're a failure. You may feel like nobody's listening. You may feel like none of your prayers are getting answered. But I promise you this, it's not about knowing how to pray, but it's knowing to pray. He said, teach us to pray. Amen. I promise you this, if you go in the average church today, you can call for a special meeting of some sort and you'll get a big crowd. You can call for this and you can call for that. But if you call for just a prayer meeting alone in the average church, you'll only get a minuscule portion of the members of that congregation that'll be willing to participate. They don't need to know how to pray. They need to know to pray. Amen. Well, I tell you something, that's the lifeblood of the child of God. That's all that we have today. Apart from this armament, all we have today is the power of prayer to beckon God on our behalf. I was at home a few weeks ago. I was headed to preach somewhere that night, and I got a text on my phone from one of my church members. He's a truck driver. He's driven for years and drives all across the country, and he sent me a text. It's unusual for me to get a text from him. When I opened the text, this is what it said. It said, preacher, I need you to pray for me. And then these next words are what stunned me. It said, preacher, I need you to pray for a miracle. Now, I get prayer requests all the time. People say, pray for so-and-so, pray for this, pray for that. But it isn't often, it isn't every day I get a prayer request that says, I need you to pray for me, and I need you to pray for a miracle. Now, that's a pretty tall order, if you ask me. He went on to explain what had happened, and this man that drives a truck for a living, he said, I've busted my knee up badly. And he said, I've been at the doctor and said, got the doctor and said, my doctor is sending me to an orthopedic
doctor, a surgeon said, my doctor says it looks like I'm going to have surgery. And he said, preacher, he said, this is why I'm asking you to pray for a miracle. He said, she said, it's probably going to be 6 to 8 weeks at least that I'll not be able to drive. And he said, preacher, it'll wipe me out financially if I can't. He said, I don't have any insurance. I thought I had some with the company I was with, but he said, I have no insurance. And he said, this is going to wipe me out. I'll lose everything I've got. He said, I need you to pray for God to send a miracle. Well, that day as I went out to my place of prayer, I was praying about the meeting I was in, and then God brought his request to my mind. And I said, well, God, I need to talk to you about this. And this is how I started my prayer that day. I said, Lord, you know Brother Ivan. And I said, Lord, I'm his pastor, and I want to remind you, Lord, that he loves his preacher, and he loves his church, and he's been a blessing to his church. I said, Lord, every year when we're getting ready for our big meeting, the Jubilee, Brother Ivan has always been a blessing to financially give above and beyond to help others be refreshed and help others be blessed. And I began to just talk to the Lord and remind the Lord about his faithful child that had a need. I said, every one of us ought to live a life so our preacher could pray a prayer like that. Hey, every one of us ought to live in such a way that when the preacher went on your behalf, that he could remind the Lord of how faithful you've been, how much you love him. And I said, Lord, he's got a need, and I have no idea, Lord, how to fix it, but God, it's yours. He's your child, and he needs your help today. And I finished praying that day and went back in the house, and it was about 2 hours later, and I got another text from him. They were headed to the orthopedic surgeon, which is about an hour away at Johnson City, and he said, preacher, he said, I got to tell you what's happened. I said, okay, and he said, as we were driving, we were going to the orthopedic surgeon, and he said, I was in such pain with my knee. He said, I was hurting so bad I couldn't stand it. And he said, my wife's driving the car, and he said, I was hurting so bad, I thought I'm going to have to try to move my leg to see if I can get a little bit of relief. And he said, preacher, when I moved my leg, I felt something pop. And he said, immediately I felt a release of pain. He says, immediately the pain went out of my knee. And he said, just a pop. And he said, so we went on to the orthopedic surgeon and said, we got in there and said they ran tests and they drew fluid off my knee, said there was no blood in it, and said they did some things, and they looked and finally looked at him and said, we believe if you'll go home, put some ice on it for a couple of days, you'll be just fine. Now, I'm not saying it was my prayers that did that. I don't know, but I do know this. He said, I need a miracle, and he got one. I'm glad God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. I'm here to tell you right now, that's why you need to know how to pray. That's why you need to know to pray, because there may be somebody in your life that needs a miracle. There may be somebody in your life that needs to get in touch with heaven on behalf of you. Amen. Can I say this right now? I've had God answer prayers instantaneously. And then there's some prayers I've prayed for 20 years that God still hasn't answered. I'll never forget this. As I was a young preacher in my early days, God was really birthing prayer in my life and in my heart. He put me around some men that knew what it was to pray, and they taught me to pray. And in those days, I'd devour every book I could get on the prayer lives of some of them great saints of days gone by. I'd read about praying Hyde, and I'd read about Mueller, and I'd read about those men that had great prayer lives and how God answered their prayers. And boy, I tell you, I was absorbing all of that. And then those days, we was in prayer meetings continually. We'd be in all-night prayer meetings. We'd pray out in the woods. We'd pray pray wherever we can get. I'm talking about we had the best time you've ever seen praying and seeking God. Anywhere we can get a crowd of preachers together, maybe us young preacher boys, we'd pray everywhere we could. Hallelujah. And I'll never forget this. I wasn't a pastor at this time, but I was serving in the church I was in there. And you know how young preachers are. Most of them got a lot of zeal and not a lot of knowledge. And I was one of them. I had the zeal to do right things. I had the zeal. I wanted to turn the world upside down for Jesus. But sometimes you try to do it like a bull in a china shop. Amen. And it was one such time I had done something. I was trying to do a right thing, but I'd done it in a wrong way. And there was a lady in the church that got highly offended at me. I didn't mean to. I wasn't setting out to offend nobody, but she got highly offended at the way I had done this. And I saw that it was such that it was going to, I said, God, I can't fix this. She won't listen to me. And I said, God, I don't want, the last thing I want to do is cause trouble in the church or cause trouble for my preacher. And I'll be honest with you, that thing was hanging on me. I mean, every day is like a dark cloud. And finally it was on a Friday. I was at work that day. I worked in the supermarket at that time, and I only lived 5 minutes from where I worked. So on my lunch break, I said, I'm going to go home today. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to fast, and I'll pray during my lunch break. And I got home that day, and I was sitting there in my house. My wife and children were gone, and I was reading my Bible where it said over there, it says, if you'll enter into your closet and shut the door, the one that hears in secret will reward you openly. And that day, I know that closet can mean anywhere you meet with God in prayer, but that day as I was sitting there, just as you walked through the door of our front room there, there was a clothes closet there, and I was sitting there reading that, and my eyes caught that closet. And that day, that Bible meant that closet for me. I'm there by myself. I'm in the middle of the day, nobody else there, and yet God's just speaking to my heart, said, get in that closet and pray. And I went over and I opened up the doors, and like most of our closets, I had to clean it out before I could get in and pray. I finally got it cleaned out enough till I could, and I got inside that closet and laid my Bible down on the floor, and I shut the door. Here I am, a grown man, in the middle of a day on a Friday, in a dark closet with the door shut. If somebody seen me that didn't know what I was doing, they'd say, call the authorities, get a straight jacket. He's lost. He is mine. And I got in there that day, and that burden was so heavy on me. I poured my heart out to God. I squalled and I cried and I said, God, I can't fix this. I've made a mess. I didn't mean to do it. And God, I need you to help me. And I prayed for about 30 minutes, and I was wrung out. I'm talking about wrung out. And I finally got done, and I opened the door, and I staggered to my feet, and I'm wiping tears, and I'm just a blubbering mess. And as I was walking through the living room, all of a sudden the telephone rang. And that was back in the days before caller ID, so I didn't know who was calling. I thought it maybe was my wife. And I staggered over to the phone. I picked up the phone and I said, hello. And when I did, on the other end of the line, there was somebody weeping uncontrollably, talking so fast that I couldn't understand what they were saying. And I was trying to figure out what they're saying. I said, yeah. I said, you're going to have to calm down. Who is this? Who is this? I said, I can't understand you. Slow down. Let me know what you need. And when they calmed down just a little bit, it was the lady who was offended at me. And this is what she said. She said, preacher, I can't live like this. She said, I had to call you and ask you to forgive me today. And I said, sis, you don't have to ask me. I said, I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And that day, we got that thing fixed up on the phone that day. I'm talking about instantaneous. I found out later she was at work in the factory. And on her lunch break, she went out and found a payphone so she could call me. Here I am at my house in the middle of the day on a Friday, who, how'd she know I'd be there? Well, how did she know that I'd just crawl out of a closet when I'd been talking to God? You say, that's just coincidence. Well, I'm glad, praise God, for coincidences. I'm glad, God, listen, I got news for you. God's able to answer prayer instantaneously if he wants to. He can answer it in 20 years from now if he wants to. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we serve a God that is a prayer answering God.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I was just a kid, I was raised up in a little place called Butler, Tennessee, up in a little mountain holler. Up in there, my daddy owned a little farm, and he worked a day job, and then he'd come home at night and work till dark on that farm every night. And we'd, you know, just to make ends meet and get by. And back in those days, things were a lot different than they are now in culture. And back in those days, people didn't travel like we do today. And back in those days, we hardly ever, when I was growing up, we ate most of our meals at home. I don't remember going out to too many restaurants. We didn't have McDonald's and all of these things you got today. We didn't have none of that. And if we went to town, it was usually one time a week, and that was on Saturday to get groceries. Now, some of y'all old enough, you're in my generation, you remember those days. Nowadays, they go 3 or 4 trips a day to the store. But back in those days, we'd wait till Saturday. And as a kid, that was always a highlight of my week because I knew we was going to get to go to town. And when we did go to town, there was a little restaurant in our on the Highway 421 there in Mountain City that it was a little iconic place. All little towns have got that restaurant where everybody would go to. It was a little place called J.D.'s. And, man, I was always excited on Saturday because I knew I was going to get a hamburger. And, boy, they had the best French fries. And I said, man, it's Saturday. We're going to get to go to town. You know, I was so burnt out on eating all that country ham and beef that we'd raised and all them fresh garden vegetables. Man, that hamburger really excited. That thought of a hamburger really excited me. But if you live long enough, I promise you this, you'll get over the hamburgers. And you'll sure wish you could get some of that you used to have. Amen. But anyway, that little what was unique about this little restaurant was it wasn't one you could go in and sit down in. They didn't have any tables. They didn't have what it was. It was one of these little places you pull up in the parking lot. You get out of your car. You go up to the window and place your order. And then you come back and sit down in the car and wait on them to call your number. And I, Mom and Dad would always make, they'd tell me, he said, now go up there and I want you to order this and order this. And I would go up there to the window and I'd place my order. Then I'd walk back to the car, I'd get in the back seat with my sisters, and we'd sit there and wait until they called our number. I said, that's just like prayer. I said, that's a lot of time when we go to God in prayer, what we're doing is we're placing our order. And do you realize the hardest part of when we place our order? It's the waiting part. You go to that window and you place your order, and boy, I'll tell you what, I was so anxious about that because I knew what my heart was desiring, and I knew that there would come a time that my number would be called. I'm preaching on that thought tonight on persevering in prayer until God calls your number. Some of y'all have been praying a long time about something. Some of you may have been praying for a loved one for a long time. Some of you may not have been praying as long, but the fact of the matter is God has heard your prayers. The devil wants to discourage every one of you in your prayer life tonight. He wants to make you think that nobody's listening. But I got chapter and verse for you where the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. I'm glad we serve a God tonight. I don't care how much that lying devil tells you God's not listening. I'm glad I've got a book that tells me he's hearing the cries of his children. Amen. But a lot of times it's like that little old restaurant when I would go place that order. This would happen sometimes. I'd place the order and I'd come back and sit down in the car, and you know, we'd be waiting and we'd get to talking amongst ourselves, and sometimes even have the window rolled up and they'd lean out and call a number, and everybody in the car would say, was that our number? I don't know. I couldn't hear. Did you hear? No, I don't know what it was. And Mom and Dad would say, go see if that was our number. And here I'd get out and I'd walk up to the window And I'd say, did y'all call our number? And they'd say, no, that wasn't yours. And then I'd turn around and do the walk of shame back to the car, because everybody in the parking lot seen you get out and you're going, no, that wasn't ours. You see, the problem with that was, it wasn't that they hadn't heard my order. There was something blocking me hearing their voice. I needed to roll my window down. Sometimes our problems that we go through, when we're in the midst of struggles and trials, we'll let the problems and the noise around us and all the stress around us keep us from hearing the voice of God. I've been a pastor for 26 years where I'm at. I've counseled many people down through the years who've been in the deepest valleys, people who's been in the most severe trials, people who's been through everything you can think of. And every time I sit down with those people, different ones, I hear a reoccurring theme. They'll be in the midst of the dogfight of their life just for survival. And this is what they'll say. I just don't feel like God is hearing my prayers. Amen. Well, I've got news for you. He's heard every one of them. But the problem is sometimes we let the noise around us and we let our own discouragement block out the voice of a holy God. I tell you what some of you need to do tonight. You don't need to say, well, I need to change the way I'm praying. I need to do this and I need to do that. No, what you need to do is roll your window down tonight and say, God, here I am. I've done a lot of talking, but God, if you want to talk, I'm willing to listen tonight. Hallelujah to his name. And I promise you this, if you'll roll your window down, he'll call your number. Hallelujah to his name. It discourages you when you can't hear his voice. But many times those things that's blocking his voice, we've got the ability to remove them. Number two, I'll tell you what'll discourage you when you're praying, when you feel like you've been put off and forgotten. You ever felt like that? I'd be sitting there in the car waiting on them to call our number after I'd placed the order. And there'd be a car pull up in the parking lot. They'd get out and go place their order. They'd come back and sit down. We'd sit there and wait a while, and then all of a sudden they'd call a number, and that fellow that came after I did would get out of his car. And he'd go up there, and I'd look, and I'd say, wait a minute. I was here before he was. I placed my order before him. And you're saying, have they forgot us? Have they forgot my... How many times have you ever felt like God has forgotten you in your prayer life? I mean, you see people that ain't prayed half as long as you have, and on Sunday morning they're bragging about how God's answered their prayer, and you're sitting over there thinking, well, Lord, I've been praying a long time. Have you forgot me? Have you put up, and I got to thinking about that fella, and it's easy to get discouraged when everybody's getting their prayers answered but you. And then it dawned on me. You know the reason that fella got his answered quicker? It takes longer with a big order. See, he had a little order. I had a big order. Amen. Some of you have been wore out, about give up. You've just about quit praying. You felt like God ain't hearing nothing, and you're just about thrown in the towel. And all the while, God's been working on a big order for you. All the while, God's a amen, hallelujah. Kind of like the psalmist over there. I believe it's Psalm 85 where he said, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. And this is what he said. He said, he set me in a large place. Amen. I've meditated on that verse a whole lot. I said, what is a large place? I mean, I understand the implications there, but I believe I got a revelation on that one day. I was going through Wendy's drive-thru. And I pulled up to the thing and I ordered. I said, I want that double combo there, and I want a Coke to drink with it. And before I could pull off to go pay for it, the voice came back over the intercom and said, sir, would you like to biggie size that? Y'all know what biggie sizing is, don't you? That means if you tell them to biggie size it, you get the big fry and you get the big drink, and And she's saying, now, we'll give you what you've asked for, but if you want it, we can give you more than you've asked for. Amen. I'm glad every now and then. There's been a lot of times I've been praying, and I've been praying so little. I've been praying in such a small way that it's almost like I can hear God lean over the banister of heaven and say, son, would you like me to set you in a large place? Would you like me to biggie size it for you? Amen. I'm glad God's able tonight, hallelujah, to do abundantly above and more than we could ask or think. I'm glad, hallelujah, that he can biggie size it for us. But you may feel put off and forgotten. I'm sitting there waiting on my number, and everybody else is getting theirs answered. Number three, what will discourage you in your prayer life is preconceived ideas are a source of discouragement. You know, the problem is we know what we've ordered. We know what we've asked God for. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm awful bad to tell God how to answer my prayers. I treat God like it's Burger King and I want it my way. And I tell God, I've already envisioned it in my mind, this thing I'm praying about, how he's going to do it. It's going to play out like a movie script that I've wrote in my mind. We need to quit writing scripts for God and just follow the script he's already written for us. But them preconceived ideas. Have you ever done this? There's been times I've drove through a drive-thru somewhere and I order my food and I get it and I pay for it at the window and I'll drive home. And when I get home, I open the bag up and I look in it and I said, great day in the morning. They've given me somebody else's food because there wasn't nothing in the bag that I ordered. It's somebody else's order. I didn't check it before I left. And I get home and I look at it, and when that happens, you're so frustrated, aggravated by it. And I don't get angry with them young'uns working them places because most of them making minimum wage and they're doing the best they can do. So don't get angry and give Baptist a bad name. Okay, it's just food. And after you get over disappointment because you didn't get what you ordered, and after you get over being frustrated and aggravated by it, you look in the bag and say, well, it ain't what I ordered, but it's still good. And I have sat down and eat food that I didn't order, and it was good. This will help you. In your prayer life, sometimes you open the bag and you didn't get what you ordered. And you can get bitter. You can get frustrated. You can get even angry at God. But I promise you this, no matter how disappointed you are in what you got as opposed to what you asked God for, if you look at it long enough, when it comes from God, if you look, you'll find some good in it. Even in the worst of circumstances, you'll be able to find some good in it. There's been a lot of days in my spiritual life, I said, God, this ain't how I ordered it. God, I ask you for this, and you've given me this. And God, this is not what I desired. And after a while, I learned that God was just teaching me to start looking for the good that he gives me. Because you see, he's answering my order with a perfect view of the whole scene. I'm looking through a glass darkly right now. I don't see the whole picture. I don't see the whole of my life just now. But God sees, he saw it when it was born. And he's already seen the day that I'll leave this world. And in between that, God has said, you know what? You're my child, and I love you. And he's given me some things that have made me want to shout. But he's also given me some things that made me want to cry. But through it all, he was teaching me that he's a good God. And no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how your heart may be broken in a million pieces, if you look, you'll find that he's a good God, even in the midst of disappointment, even when it seemed like the prayer's not been answered like you prayed it. You'll find out that he's a God that'll still call your number. Last of all, and I give you this, and I'm done. You get discouraged in your prayer life because your patience is not what it needs to be. As a little boy waiting on them to call my number, that was the longest wait. Because, man, I was excited about that hamburger and them French fries, sometimes even a milkshake. Hey, man. And, man, I was excited. It seemed like they never would call my number. But then all of a sudden, there it would be. And I forgot all about the long wait after I got what I was wanting. Can I say to you, some of you have been praying a long time, and you just about wore out by it. I've got a lady in my church just this past year. She's been praying for her father to be saved for 32 years. He had gotten up in his older years. He was up in his early 80s. And he never was around church much, but he would, on occasion, he would come and visit with us and with her. And every time he would come, he was a nice man as far as that goes. And I always tried to befriend him. I wanted to try to win him to God if I could. And he'd always be kind to me and nice to me. But every time I'd preach, I could tell it seemed like God was doing something, but he wouldn't make any kind of move. And he had gotten up to the age he started in the early stages of dementia. And there would be days he'd have good days, he'd be clear of mind, he'd know everything, and then there's some days you'd go and he wouldn't know anything. And he had gotten put in the hospital, and this woman, she had almost given up. Matter of fact, this is what she told me. She said, I was conditioning myself and preparing myself for how I was going to act if my daddy died without having ever made a profession. She said, I didn't know how I was going to handle it. For 32 years, I'd prayed for him. And she said, now here he is like this. And one day, as he was in the hospital, his grandson and her was there with her dad, and grandson went downstairs to get a soft drink out of the cafeteria and ran into an old mountain preacher from up in our area, Brother Derek Wilson, pastor of the Timid Ridge Baptist Church. And he began to talk to Derek, and he said, preacher, he said, would you care to go up and talk to my grandpa today, just speak a word to him? And Brother Derek, of course, he said, I'd be happy to. Just an old mountain preacher, Brother Derek is. He went up there, and he had never met this man before, and he said, and his name was Roby. He said, Roby, I said, I'm sorry that you're not doing well. I hate that you're in the hospital. But he said, and he told him who he was, and he said, Roby, are you ready to meet the Lord? And that old man looked at him and said, no, I'm not. He was clear-minded that day. He said, no, I'm not. He said, Roby, would you like to be? He said, yes, I would. Brother Derek began to quote scriptures to him and talk about the Lord and said, Roby, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? Roby, do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? And he said, yes, I believe that. He went through the whole process of telling him how to be saved. He said, Roby, if you want me to, I'll pray with you. He said, I'd like for you to. And that day he prayed there, and that gentleman that his daughter had prayed for 32 years gave his heart to the Lord that day in the hospital. This man didn't know church terminology. He didn't know anything like that, but this woman's husband, the son-in-law, came in to see him later that day, and he was there in the hospital, and he looked at him and said, Alan, did they tell you what happened? And Alan already knew, but he's wanting to hear him tell him. He said, what happened? He said, grinned real big. He said, I went to the preacher and I did the thing. That's what he said. He didn't know the terminology. He said, I went to the preacher and I did the thing. And he said, just beaming, smiling.
It wasn't but a couple weeks after that, this man has since passed on to heaven. But this man, they had sent him to the nursing home, and Alan went in one day to see him. Right, this was just a couple of weeks before he passed on, and he walked in and into his room and said, "How you doing today?" He said, "I'm wore out." He said, "Why you wore out?" He said, "I've been gone all day." "Been gone all day?" He's in a hospital bed in a nursing home. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Where you been?" He said, "There's a man come this morning and said, he took me down to the river, and we've been down there all day." He said, "We've been down to the river all day." And he said, "Just got back a little while ago." And he said, "You did?" He said, "What does this man look like?" He says, "Man, don't know nothing about the Bible, don't know nothing about nothing." He said, "He kind of looked like a fisherman, and he had a book and a horn in his hand." That's what this man said. He had a book and a horn in his hand. And he said, "I wanted to cross that river, but he told me I couldn't. Said we had to go back." This is what this man told. Well, he made the crossing just a few weeks after that. But can I say to you, know why he made the crossing and that man with the book and the horn? It's because somebody persevered in prayer and waited until God called their number. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray during this time of invitation, Lord, as we have our musicians come, and Lord, just get a song to play on the piano. Lord, I ask you tonight that you would help this people. Father, no doubt there are people here who've been discouraged in praying. There may be somebody here tonight that's kind of like the brother. They need a miracle. Lord, it may be tonight that they've been reminded they don't need to know how to pray. They just need to know to pray. And Father, I ask you, Lord, as we gather here tonight, as some are already coming to this altar, God, I pray, would you challenge each and every one of us tonight, Lord, not to give up and not to get weary in well-doing, but, Lord, that we'd stay the course. And, God, we'd enlist you in the greatest ability we have, and that's to engage your ability on our behalf. And, Father, I beg you tonight, as our sister begins to play whatever she's got to play, if you need to come and gather with these that are gathered here, have you got somebody on your heart tonight? Is there a loved one that you've been praying for a long time and you need to just come and pray for them? Just come back. Make sure that God's got your order right. Or maybe you just need to come tonight. It may be you're carrying a heavy burden tonight and you're just so loaded down. You don't feel, you say, "Preacher, half of the time I don't feel like God's listening." I got news for you. He's listening tonight. He hears your cry. I'm glad, praise God, he said over there in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I'm glad tonight that there's a God that's able to help you tonight. All he's wanting you to do is place the order. He's well able to be able to handle it. Big or small, it doesn't matter to him. I'm glad he's able to take care of it tonight. Oh, if you're here and you need help, why don't you come? I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, "Preacher, I haven't come to the altar, but I've got some needs and I've got some burdens. Would you pray for me, preacher?" Is anybody lift your hand anywhere tonight and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I see that. God bless you." Anybody else tonight, lift your hand. "I see that. Thank you. Thank you." Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? "I see that. God bless you." Is there somebody here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved." Well, tonight would be a good night. You'd get saved. There's someone here tonight. You say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? If I died right now, I wouldn't be ready to meet the Lord. Preacher, pray for me." Is anybody like that? Wait in just a moment. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? Say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not ready to meet him. But I'd like to be like the gentleman you talked about. I'd like to be." Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to ask you tonight, if God spoke to your heart and you're not ready to meet him, wouldn't you like to come tonight? Let somebody pray with you, show you how to be saved from the Word of God. Boy, if you'll do that, God will save you tonight. If you're here tonight and you've got a heavy burden, He'll lift that burden if you'll come bring it to Him. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I wonder anybody else tonight. Father, we thank You tonight for what You've done for us. We thank You for how You've helped us. Thank You for the good liberty we've had in preaching tonight. I pray, God, that You'd burn this message in our hearts. And Lord, I pray, would You give us the strength and the mercy and the grace, God, just to continue and persevering in prayer, waiting on You to call our number. Father, thank You for the prayers You've answered. Lord, thank You for the prayers that You knew better in than we did. God, thank You for the grace that You've given us in all of them. And Lord, I pray now, meet the need of the hour. Bless this pastor, I pray. Lord, would You give him the desires of his heart in these days of meeting? Father, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name, preacher, You come tonight as You see fit.